Okay. Jesus told me he wanted me to speak on profanity tonight, and so I figured it was about language. But as usual, I was wrong. So he gave me this message. I am your Jesus born incarnate. I have come to discuss with you profanity. When you profane something, it means you dishonor it, insult it, use it in a way unintended to be used. Today, more than the name of God is profaned. My real presence in the Blessed Sacrament is profaned daily, hourly, by those who receive me unworthily in the state of mortal sin. A lesser profanity to my real presence is the people who ignore me before and after Mass and summarily carry on conversations in front of me. Human life, a gift from God, is profaned through abortion, birth control, and scientific research. The virtue of modesty is profaned when people dress according to fashion with no regard for purity. Some even come to church dressed immodestly. The Sabbath is profaned when you do not observe it as the Lord's Day, a day of worship and family activities, shopping, unless absolutely necessary, should be put off until the other 6 days. Housework as well. Places of business should be closed on the 7th day, unless they have to do with health care. Use the Sabbath to grow closer as families. My mother's heart grieves over the sins of profanity. She is pouring grace into the world that these sins will be recognized and overcome. I am consoling her by sending her to certain sites in the world with special graces towards conversion. This site here is a great sign to the world of heaven's concern for the world today. Make this known. So, going back over that, I looked up in the dictionary what profanity was, and it said profanity was showing disrespect or contempt for sacred things or irreverence. So first Jesus talked about sacrilege. So for those who are Catholic, I looked in the Catholic Catechism and it says in section 2120, sacrilege consists in profaning or treating unworthily the sacraments and other liturgical actions, as well as persons, things, or places consecrated to God. Sacrilege is a grave sin, especially when committed against the Eucharist, for in this sacrament the true body of Christ is made substantially present for us. So, now how would you commit a sacrilege against the Holy Eucharist? By not being in a state of grace when you receive Jesus. And in section 14:15, we read, anyone who desires to receive Christ in Eucharistic communion must be in the state of grace. Anyone aware of having sinned mortally must not receive communion without having received absolution in the sacrament of penance. It seems to me that there's a whole generation of young adults that don't know this. Because when you go to church, everybody goes to communion, the whole congregation. Everybody regards themselves as worthy. But when you go to confession, there's hardly anyone in line. Usually you don't have to wait in line. You can usually just walk right in. That's because we have lost a sense of sin. False consciences have been formed, compromise has been accepted because it's easier, and we want to do what makes us feel good. But Jesus is saying, if you want to belong to my country club, you obey my rules. But see, I'll bet a lot of the people that go to communion don't even search their conscience to see if they have committed a mortal sin. Maybe they don't even know what a mortal sin is. A lot of people don't believe in hell or Satan. But that doesn't mean you're not going to wind up there if you live according to that maxim. So, what Jesus is saying is, have respect for me. I'm really present in the Holy Eucharist. Don't come to the banquet if you're not clothed in the wedding garment. Make certain that your heart is prepared and ready to receive him. Who cares if you have to miss it once and sit on the pew because you've decided maybe you've committed a mortal sin and you need to go to confession? Good for you that you've thought of it. Hooray for you. At least take the time to search your conscience, because your soul is at stake and eternity is forever. And it says right here, if you're Catholic, you have to be in a state of grace to receive Jesus. The next thing that Jesus talked about was human life is profaned through abortion, birth control, and scientific research. So, in the Catholic Catechism, section 2272, we read, formal cooperation in an abortion constitutes a grave offense. A grave offense is a mortal sin. The Church attaches the canonical penalty of excommunication to this crime against human life. A person who procures a completed abortion incurs excommunication by the very commission of the offense and subject to the conditions provided by canon law. So, I'm not an expert on canon law, but I've known people that have had abortions, and I'll bet they didn't know that. So that now the next thing that Jesus talks about is the virtue of modesty in dress. How many times have we seen people up on the altar even in extra short dresses or long dresses with slits that go all the way up to their high knee, and they think they're well dressed? But if it isn't modest, forget it. And Padre Pio, when he was alive, would not hear the confessions of women dressed in slacks or short dresses. And the dresses, I think he had some kind of measurement. It had to be so many inches below the knee or something like that. So now that brings us to keeping the Sabbath holy. And believe it or not, it is a mortal sin to miss Mass on Sunday. If you go on the vigil, that counts as Sunday. But nothing has changed, even though people have tried to convince me of this. Vatican II never said you don't have to go to Mass every Sunday. You still do. Read the Catechism. If you think it's in Vatican II, show it to me, because it's not there. Vatican II has been profaned. People that want to break God's laws quote Vatican II off the cuff. Oh, since Vatican II, you don't have to go, there's no sin, blah, blah, blah. Not true. You know, there's still rules in the church. and you still have to obey him if you want to call yourself Catholic. So now on this one. Let's see. Sunday obligation, section 2180. The precept of the church specifies the law of the Lord more precisely. On Sundays and other holy days of obligation, the faithful are bound to participate in Mass. The precept of participating in the Mass is satisfied by assistance at a Mass which is celebrated anywhere in a Catholic rite, either on the holy day or on the evening preceding, which is the vigil. The Sunday Eucharist is the foundation and confirmation of all Christian practice. For this reason, the faithful are obliged to participate in the Eucharist on days of obligation, unless excused for serious reason. For example, illness, the care of infants, or someone sick, or dispensed by their own pastor. Those who deliberately fail in this obligation commit a grave sin. Tell the young adults, because they think it's okay to miss a few weeks of Mass, go back and go to Holy Communion without going to confession. I don't know how this practice started, but it's going strong. And then in section 2185, on Sundays and other holy days of obligation, the faithful are to refrain from engaging in work or activities that hinder the worship owed to God, the joy proper to the Lord's day, the performance of the works of mercy, and the appropriate relaxation of mind and body. Family needs or important social services can legitimately excuse from the obligation of Sunday rest. For instance, if you're a mother, you have to make food, make meals for your family. The faithful should see to it that legitimate excuses do not lead to habits prejudicial to religion, family life, and health. Okay. Did you know that when Our Lady appeared in La Salette, I think it was in the 1800s, 1840-something, she was seen by the children one time, and she was crying. She was crying because of the use of God's name in vain and because people were working on Sundays. Don't you think she's really torn apart today by abortions, by sacrileges, by immodest dress, by people that practice birth control, people that don't bother going to church on Sunday? One time Our Lady came to me early in the morning and she said, "Get up. I want you to go to early Mass." So being a late sleeper, I thought, now what? So I got up and went to early Mass, and I thought, well, there must be a reason. Maybe I'm supposed to hear the homily or something. Coming back from communion, I saw a host laying on the floor. So I picked Jesus up and took him back to the sacristy after Mass. And they said, "Oh, yeah." Like, well, this happens all the time. Same church, a couple weeks later, my husband and I went to Mass after a first Holy Communion service, put down the kneeler, and Jesus was behind the kneeler. That's how little respect Jesus gets in the Blessed Sacrament. But he's there for you and me. And hopefully, we will pay him the respect that he deserves and try to console him for the sacrileges and abuses that others hand to him and don't even give it a second thought. This is a quote from St. Ambrose. "The sinner is not cast out, He casts himself out. And this is from Catherine of Siena. The sin, true sin, is human, but to persist in sin is devilish. Okay, thank you.